Himself in secret places, that I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? My message tonight is very simple. I'll preach to you about a stalker in the darkness. A stalker. S-T-A-L-K-E-R. You ever heard of one of those? My message tonight, a stalker in the darkness. Will somebody pray right now? Before I forgot it. In our governmental system, there is devised a process whereby bills are introduced with the ability to pass them as laws. Many times there are officials that introduce bills that are very important personally to them. And if you know anything about how government works, you'll understand that. Perhaps it's an agricultural bill that will help farmers from a man in Iowa or a man in Indiana, the cornfields of Indiana, or one of the states, Kansas, in the wheat fields. Bills that pertain to those subjects of agriculture are very important to those men because they realize that's the kind of people that elected them. Perhaps it's an anti-drug bill from a state plagued by the scourge of drug abuse and crime, with inner city problems. In most every case, the bill is of importance because the politician is concerned about the tide of public opinion in relationship to the approaching election. But there he is in Congress right now, and I've been doing some readings lately about this, and the Lord quickened it to my heart. There is at this present moment a bill in Congress that's quite interesting to me. This, too, is very, very important to the person that brings this bill. The importance has nothing to do with the next election. The importance has nothing to do with agriculture or crime bills, nothing like that. It has nothing to do with drugs. But this bill has much, much to do with this man's wife. The technical term is a conglomerate of legal words that most of us wouldn't understand, but they translate to mean what they simply are calling in Congress right now the Anti-Stalker Act. It is a bill that would make it illegal to pursue somebody, to stalk them, to harass them with a continued presence. It's a bill devised to eliminate such a thing as stalking. It seems that somebody has acquired an obsession for this senator's wife. And no matter where this senator's wife goes, she finds mementos, cards from this stranger. She gets threatening letters no matter where she is. If she goes into hiding somehow, they've got the FBI working on the case, but I thought it was interesting that even with all the protection that a congressman's wife would have, they have letters that come to places where she's hiding. They have things happen. She always knows his presence is near because he stalks her. He follows her. According to the magazine articles, he knows where her home is. He knows her daily routine. He knows when she's home, and he knows when she's not home. He knows the size of her clothes. He knows the important dates in her life, and he sends her letters and cards and different things on important dates. He is, to say the least, obsessed with this congressman's wife. He leaves notes and reminders where nobody's supposed to be. He sends gifts to places where she's hiding. He somehow finds out where she is. He makes it his business to know her business. He is called a stalker. They may never touch you, but they want you to know where they are. It spoke of stalkers in this article and said, they may never harm you physically, but they are compelled to be a constant reminder that they're there, looking over your shoulder. They know everything about your life. This situation, combined with many others, has created quite a furor in the media. Who hasn't heard of Monica Sellers, the tennis player, ranked number one in the world, who was stabbed by an obsessed fan that was stalking her because he was a fan of her number one rival, and when she went back playing tennis against the wall, this man that had stalked her leaped over to the edge of the wall and stabbed her between her shoulder blades, and even to this day she's never gotten back into play. Just over a year ago, there was a young actress that was brutally shot to death in front of her friends because a man had stalked her and found out where she lived at, and when she went to answer the door, he shot her and left her there dead. There's a talk show host whose house has been broken into several times by a woman who is obsessed with him. The police will lock her up. She'll get out. She'll find out where he is. She'll bypass all security somehow, and she'll end up at this man's house. It'd be comforting to think otherwise, but stalking is a very common thing. According to studies, stalking takes place every day in almost every city. These individual situations that I've mentioned to you tonight might sound like it's just a bunch of lunatics running around, but in all reality, they've only received publicity because these were a few of the situations where the stalker is a stranger. He's a man whose mind does not understand the difference between a movie and reality. These are people that do not understand the difference between reality and fiction, between fantasies and facts. These are the men that see the women movie stars in these movies, and they cannot disassociate that that's not what they really are. It sees, and Hollywood's brought a lot of it on themselves. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now. Hollywood brought a lot of it on themselves. But now they're pushing to get this anti-stalker bill pushed through. I found it interesting to note, though, that only a fraction of the stalkings involve strangers. The vast majority of the stalkings that take place every day in every city in America are those with which somebody has been romantically involved. They've had an affair, or they were married, or it was somebody that they dated steadily. There was somebody who was a sweetheart. Usually, the most common kind of stalker is the spurned sweetheart. They're the forgotten lover. They're the ones that somebody leaves behind to go on with their life in another way. The problem arises when one decides to forsake the other and tries to start another life without that spurned lover. And they leave behind somebody that's brokenhearted and unwilling to give up on a relationship, so they follow them in the alleys. They follow them in the shadows. They follow them in the darkness of the night. They follow them. They watch them. It's them that the lover becomes the stalker, following them, hiding somewhere in the shadows, leaving reminders that they're there in the darkness, calling your name in the middle of the night to let you know that they're there. It's these that watch every move that you make. It's an endless pursuit of something that the other one is ready to leave behind. It becomes an endless pursuit of something that one lover decides, I don't want to be this way anymore, and tries to leave the other one behind. Sometimes they become violent, but other times they just want to remind you of their presence. Sometimes they're angry, but other times they're just tormenting the other one's mind. Sometimes they're vicious, but other times it's just a fearful reminder that they're out there somewhere. Sometimes it's painful, but other times it's nothing more than love that won't let go. It's nothing more than a lover that won't say, I quit. It's called stalking. Imagine the fear of knowing that somebody's watching your every move. I'm a grown man. I had a situation here a few years ago in this city. To this day, I don't know who it was, but I honestly believe that God took care of it. I had a situation a few years ago, some of you out remember, that I was getting calls in the middle of the day. I was getting several calls a day with people threatening to take my life. They would tell me how they were going to kill me. They would tell me the things that they were going to do to my body. I'm a big man. I'm not scared of anything, I don't guess, really, except heights. I'm not a real fan of heights. But as far as people, I'm not real scared of anybody. But it seemed to me that when those things started happening, it affected me, Brother G.L. When I'd go outside the house every day, thoughts would cross my mind, and I'd wonder if this is going to be the day that I'm going to meet this nut. If this is going to be, can you imagine the fear of knowing somebody is watching your every move? It got to the place that when I'd come in the house, I'd get phone calls and say, you've been gone, haven't you? Or they'd tell me, say, you just got home, didn't you? Different things that would somehow make me cautious. Imagine the trembling heart that wonders if you're a lady, if you're really alone. Imagine in your heart and in your mind, if you could, a place of fear where you can't hide deep enough. You can't live quiet enough. You can't run fast enough. You can't sleep sound enough. What must it feel like to try to walk in the darkness knowing that there's a stalker that might be just around the corner? He might be somewhere hiding in the shadows just up ahead. Or he might be right behind me looking over my shoulder. It's funny to think that such a frightening thing could be caused by love, isn't it? It almost seemed paradoxical that such intense terror could begin with intense love. It seems unique to me that I could stand up here and preach about somebody that torments another, that follows another, that reminds another one that's there, that won't allow peace to come to another simply because they have such a love for that individual. While I could stand here tonight and tell you that stalking is some new evil that's come upon this age, or I could tell you it's a frightening sign of the times, I've got to be honest with you tonight and tell you that I've come to realize this situation is as old as mankind itself is. I wish you'd listen to me tonight. I've come to preach to you about a stalker in the darkness. If you'd go back with me, I want to show you the original stalker. Go back with me now to the Garden of Eden. When I read my Bible, I find out a lot of things about the Garden of Eden. I don't know all the colors that was there. I don't know all the tapestry that adorned the Garden of Eden. There's a lot of things I don't know about that place, but there are some things that I find out by reading the Word of God. It was a place of peace because Adam was given dominion over everything. And God said, Adam, you control it all, son. It's all yours. You can do with it whatever you want to. Might I remind you that when God gave Adam dominion over everything, He said, over every animal you're going to have dominion. Everything in this garden you've got dominion. Can I remind you tonight that Satan came to him as a serpent? He had dominion over that man. Adam did not have to fall. He had been given divine dominion over the serpent. He had been given divine dominion that I do not have to succumb to the tricks of the enemy. It was a place of beauty. It was adorned, Brother Frank, with precious stones of many types, the Bible said. It was a place of beautiful greenery. It was a place of contentment. Everything that they would ever need, they had there in the Garden of Eden. There was no price to pay. It was without price, without money. It was there for them to partake of. Everything that you want, it's here, it's yours, you can have it. It was a place of life. The Bible lets us know that it was a place that radiated not only from the sun, but I suppose in the truest sense, it radiated with the brilliance of God's glory, who walked in that garden every day, every day, every day. But most of all, I believe it was a place of love. You see, when you get to understanding, there was shining in the light of that garden a passionate, ongoing love affair. Now, lest you think that Brother Watt's talking, or you misunderstand me and you think I'm talking about Adam and Eve, I want you to understand it was a love affair that went beyond that. It was more passionate than Adam and Eve. It was more intimate than Adam and Eve. It was more meaningful than Adam and Eve. I'm talking about a love affair that took place in the Garden of Eden. It was a love affair between God Almighty and humanity. It was there in the garden that the relationship flourished between lofty deity and lowly humanity. I want you to walk hand in hand in the cool of the day. I want you to listen somehow and hear him share heartbeats, God talking to Adam and Adam talking to God. I want you to look still right now how they touch each other's lives. When God said, Adam, I've wanted so long to walk with somebody. I've wanted so long for somebody to be made in my image so that I could share my life with them and love them. And hear Adam say, Lord, I'm not old. I was just created. But I could never ask for anything more than you. I'm telling you that there was a love affair that transpired in that garden between God and man that was unsurpassed even to this day. It was a relationship where God was not afraid to talk to man, and man was not afraid to talk to God. It was a relationship where God could touch man any way that he so chose to touch him, and mankind could reach out with his hands and touch God in ways that man has to this day never touched him again. It was a love affair. And I don't know how long this relationship flourished, but I do know from the scriptures that there came a day that a new relationship began in the hearts of humanity. It was in the garden while the heavenly lover was gone off somewhere that briefly stepped away, that Satan enticed man to sin. And when Satan enticed man to sin, he severed the cord of faithfulness that linked the hearts of humanity and the hearts of deity. Suddenly Adam and Eve realized we made a mistake. They realized that we've done something wrong. And while they could have turned around and ran looking for God, the Bible lets us know they saw their own flesh. They saw their own nakedness, and they turned around. In their mind, they could have run to God, but they looked down and they realized, I see myself because I've never seen myself before. And when they saw themselves, the Bible said that they ran. They turned around and tried to get away. They realized it could never be the way it used to be. They realized in their hearts it'll never again be the way that it once was. It just won't be that way. Somehow they realized that it's going to change now. Their minds became clouded with guilt over what they had done and where they had been. Can you imagine the heart of the lover in humanity that said, how can I face God? How do we explain to God what happened? How do you act when you walk away from God? Can you imagine? Oh, we've learned how in Pentecost. We've learned how in America. We've learned how to set our minds and turn around and walk away. But can you imagine Adam and Eve that had never known nothing in all of their created life but the tender presence of God How do you walk away from God? How do you turn and try to get away from His presence? How do we get away from Him? It was then that they decided they had to run away. I can see them trying to cover themselves with leaves, Brother Paul, just like people today try to cover their sins with good intentions. I can see them find a dark place in the shadows of the trees, just like people today try to find peace in the works of darkness. That's why they run to a bottle. That's why they run to a one-night stand. The peace of the Lord's not there, and they've got to find something to fill the void. I can see them try to find a dark place in the midst of the light and to hide themselves. I can see them as they turn around, and somehow the Bible tells us Adam and his wife hid him themselves from the presence of the Lord. Just like people with secret sins today try to hide themselves from God. They look for reasons to miss church. Hey, I've come to preach to you tonight. They look for reasons to miss church. They refuse to fellowship with the saints. They refuse to get involved in youth services or Bible studies because it's just not that important. I'll tell you what it really is. Every time from the beginning of mankind to this day, when something sinful rises up in humanity, there's something there that wants to hide themselves from the presence of an almighty God. Their soul had gone from glorious light to darkness, and now they were doing everything in their power to get over the past. I've got to get away from God. I've got to get away from this kind of life. I don't know what it's like in the world. I don't know what it's like outside of this garden. I don't know what it's like to not feel His presence. I don't know what it's like to not know that God's here. But somehow, I've got to get away from what I used to be. I almost see Him. They said, I've got to run, I've got to hide. But then, when they thought they'd covered their tracks, they heard feet shuffling on the brilliant avenues of light in the garden. It was their lover, walking on the brilliant avenues of light, stirring in the midst of the garden, looking for Adam and Eve. I wonder if in their mind, Brother Frank, they thought, God will never find us here. We're in the darkness. We found us a place in the trees. We found us a place hid out of His presence. I wonder what went through their mind when suddenly love's eyes begin to search. Love's heart begin to be broken. Love's footsteps begin to draw near them. It was then that the lover became the stalker, seeking out the fallen. God, whose heart had once been pursued by humanity, now became the pursuer, chasing somebody whose heart had found refuge in the darkness. It was the voice of spurned love. It was a voice that cried out, God walked out, you hear me tonight. God walked out of the light and marched into their darkness and began to shuffle down the dirty pathways of darkness and said, Adam, where art thou? Adam, I've come to find you today. Adam, where have you gone? I'm here, Adam. I want you to know that it was a voice of stern love. It was a voice that was telling Adam, Adam, I've seen what happens, but I'm not willing to let go. I will not let you forget me. I refuse to leave you alone with your sin. I've been in places you didn't think my holiness could walk. I'll leave reminders of how it used to be when everything was right in your heart. I'll be there when you think you left me behind. You can walk away, Adam, but you cannot hide because I will not let go. I make no apologies tonight. I make no apologies tonight. I've come to this pulpit to preach to a few of you in here whose heart is hiding in the darkness. I'm not so naive as to tell you that you don't have a choice whether or not you want to live for God. You sit there tonight cold in your spirit, looking for a reason to backslide, looking for a reason to quit coming to church. You look for this and you look for that. Hey, you're looking at a preacher that's not stupid tonight. I'm not so naive as to think that you don't have a choice. You do have a choice. Your soul is a free agent. You can walk away from God if you want to. But before you go, let me remind you, you can give up on Him, but that doesn't mean He'll ever give up on you. Your love, come on, fire. Your love may diminish for God, but that doesn't mean His love for you will ever diminish. Your soul may be an unfaithful lover, but that doesn't mean God will be unfaithful to you. He'll be there in the morning. He'll be there at the night. He'll be there when you sin. He'll be there when you cry. He'll be there. When I was a backslider away from God, Randy Irwin, the most frightening thing to me was not that God would strike me dead. That was not the most frightening thing. I almost lost my life 3 times, having known God and walked away from Him. But the thing that scared me is that God was still faithful. When I walked away from Him, He was there with me. He stayed with me. He was there all the time. I'll tell you, He'll be more faithful than you really want Him to be. You may walk away from God and leave this life behind, but I hear the Lord screaming out to somebody, so I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be there. I'll never turn away. You can run. You can go try. I'll tell you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is already in this building. I could care less if I get done. But friend of mine, before you walk out on God, I've come to tell you, God said, I'll never leave you. You may run, but I'll be there. I'll be in the shadows. I'll be a stalker in the darkness. I'll be there when you try to hide. You're looking at a preacher that loves God tonight. You look at a man that knows the glory of anointing on my ministry. A man that knows the healing power of God to be in my hands. You're looking at a man that somehow tonight has had a spirit of revelation that God's opened things up to me in His Word that I could have never known any other way. But somehow I'd be a liar tonight to tell you, if it wasn't so, that wrapped up in this same body is a man who's also fallen at times. There's a man that knows what it's like to get crossed up with God. A man that knows what it's like to somehow tell God, I'll do anything but that, God. A man that knows what it's like to tell God, I'll never get over it. I've been hurt, God, and I'll never forget it. It's there, God, I don't know how to treat it. But I want you to know that Jonah is not the only preacher that's ever gotten out of sorts with God. You're looking at a preacher that I've had differences of opinions with God. I've been tempted, and yes, I've sinned. I've slipped away from, oh, Brother White, you're not supposed to sin. You're a preacher. You remember one thing, darling. I put my pants on just like every man in this building. I have the same kind of flesh that everybody in this building has. The only difference is God's job. I know what it's like to be a Jonah. I know what it's like to get wrapped up in the moment or get caught up in my own opinions and walk away from God's ideas and say, God, I just don't think it's that way. And God rattled my cage. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to set myself on a trip to Tarsus with my carnal attitudes and spirits. But I also know what it's like when I try to run from God, to have God reach down and shake the boat with the waves of this world and say, you can run, but you can't hide from me, preacher. You can't get away from me. I'll tell you, He's been there. I know what it's like for God to find me in the darkness and shake my boat. I know what it's like to struggle in the waves of life, knowing that just over my shoulder is the stalker of the ages, watching my every move, I tell you, he knows where you are. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice. I want you to know that even in the darkest hell of my life, God was stalking me close enough to hear my cry. He was my stalker in the darkness. Yeah, I'm preaching to somebody's heart tonight. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Oh, I know where I'm heading. I know where I'm going. And believe it or not, I'm not going to be much longer because God's talking to some hearts here right now. If God will do that to a preacher, how much more will he do it to a backslider? Hey, backslider, you're already backsliding your heart. I'm preaching to some of you in this place tonight, you're already backsliding your heart. It's not a matter of you backsliding. You're backsliding your heart. You just keep coming to church and sitting on a pew. And that's not wrong, because I know as long as you're here, I can talk to you. I can reach you. I can speak to your heart. But let me assure you, as you get out of the sound of my voice, if you walk away from everything this church stands for, there's one that you'll never get away from. He's going to be there in the darkness. He'll walk with you. He'll be there when you don't want him to be. How much more will God stalk a sinner that walks out of a Pentecostal church unsaved? Ahab was one of the most vile sinners in all the Word of God. He killed an innocent man for a field, just like thousands of others that he already possessed. Yet in his field there was a stalker in his darkness that was watching every move that he made. After Ahab buried that innocent man's body and forged all the documents to hide his sin, I can almost hear God speak to the prophet Elijah and say, come here, son. I want you to go down and I want you to go to where he is. And when you get there, I want you to say, hast thou killed and hast thou taken possession? I can almost see it. I want you to remind him that you can't hide anything from God, Ahab. Ahab, you're the vilest man in all the Word of God. But Ahab, I want you to know that I'm here. I'm right over your shoulder. Ahab, I'm right there. You'll never hide from me, Ahab. You may never repent. You may die and go to hell lost in your sins. But if you do, you'll go to hell while I watch, because I'll be there. I'll watch you. Ahab, I'm still a force. You've got to consider. You can't hide from me. Standing in the field of his sins, when suddenly, out of nowhere, the prophet says, hast thou killed? Hast thou taken possession? Have you ever noticed the words of Ahab when he spins around? Hast thou found me, O my enemy? Sounds like a man that's been chased, doesn't it? Found me? Did you finally catch up with me, God? Hey, I want you to know God didn't catch up with him in the field of Naboth. God caught up with him the first day he ever sinned. God was there. God watched. Backslider, you better hear me. I don't care how big the field of sin you hide in. God's a stalker in the darkness that'll watch your every move. He knows every sin that you've got. You listen to me tonight, sir. Walk away from God. Fail him. Thumb your nose at deity. But someday, you're going to answer for your sins. Sinner, you're not going to leave this service tonight without understanding. You will not leave God in the church. He's going to go with you. He's a stalker that'll be in your darkness. I don't care how far you run from God. I don't care how fast you run from God. I'm telling you that you'll never leave God behind. Even David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me.
I've seen them find excuses for leaving. You've got to get ready to read Psalms 139:7.
I've seen him find it. The preacher don't love me. I don't fit in anymore. Nobody loves me here. I've watched him get angry over music. Hello? I watched some of you get bowed up tonight when these little girls was up here singing. You see, the thing that you don't understand, and this preacher understands, I remember when they were singing. I remember when they were outside the church looking in. I remember when some of them didn't know anything about God. Get bowed up if you will. Puff your ugly spirit up in God's face. But I tell you what it is. It's a smoke in God's nose. Because God said, I'd rather have them in church singing a little loud and a little faster than in a whorehouse on the street, than in a church here. I'd rather have them serving me than serving the devil, however they do it. Well, I've seen it. I've seen some of you bow up tonight when different ones. Brother Watt, the church must be falling apart. No, no, no. I want you to know we're on the road to victory. We've got it all right here in our hands. I'm just preaching to a few that think you're going to leave God behind. You'll never leave Him behind. He'll be there. He'll go with you. I curse every ungodly spirit. I curse everything in this building tonight that's not of God. Every spirit of arrogance. Every spirit of rebellion. Every spirit of pride. I command your mouth shut. I command your spirit weak. You will hold your peace until I'm done preaching tonight. Because the soul you're tormenting is going to hear the word of the Lord. There's a stalker in their darkness. Folks, I've never said this in my life, but I'd be scared to death to walk out right now. God's liable to strike you dead if you try to turn your face on Him right now. No, I walk away from God, but He's the stalker in your darkness. I've watched them get angry. You know what they're angry over? Somebody said this. Somebody done that. Nobody did this. Nobody did that when I was there. Oh, you let me hear. You let me hear from God and tell you what God said. God knows where you're at. God knows what the problem is. You're just trying to justify your desire to walk away from God. You're trying to justify your desire to get sin in your home. You're trying to justify your desire to do this, that, and the other. I want you to hear me tonight. Before you go, let me remind you of something. You might leave this preacher. You might leave this congregation. You might leave this fellowship. You might leave this worship. You might leave this tabernacle. You may say you hate me, hate the church, and hate everybody in it. But don't think you're going to outrun the most important thing about this church. I've got a promise for you tonight from the word of the Lord.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit?
Whither shall I go from thy spirit?
Or whither shall I flee from
whither
thy presence?
Shall I flee from thy presence?
If I ascend up into heaven,
if I go to heaven,
thou art there.
You're there.
If I make my bed in hell,
if I make my bed in hell,
behold, thou art there.
You're there.
If I take the wings of the morning,
if I get on the wings of the morning,
and I dwell in the uttermost parts of
the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there shall thy right hand lead me.
Even there
and
shall
thy right
hand
shall
hold me. Let me tell you what the right hand is. It's symbolic of power. When Jesus sat on the right hand of God, it was the power of God that they saw. You go and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea of life. But even there, God is going to be there. Jesus is going to be there. Read.
If I say surely.
If I say what?
Surely.
Surely.
The darkness shall cover me.
Shall cover me. The darkness.
Even the night shall be light about
me. The night is going to light up round about me.
Yea, the darkness hideth not
the darkness
me.
Hideth not from thee.
But the night shineth.
But the night shineth.
As the day.
As the day.
The darkness.
The only way for the darkness of night to shine like the day is for God to bring His light into your darkness. And that's enough. That's exactly what God's going to do. You can run from a lot of things in the church, but you can't run from God.
Oh, I know where I'm at. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm trying to get into your hearts tonight. I'm trying to tell you, if you find the excuse you want to backslide, He's there. You know what upsets you? It's not the music.
It's not the preaching. It's not the people in the church. It's not folks from here and there. You know what upsets you? God's moving the church. God's building the church. God's constructing a people that'll stand when you're dead and gone. And there's some of you that get upset because they said, hey, it's not just singing. It's not just, I don't know why in the name of God I'm here, but I'm here. You want to know what's really bothering you? God's letting this thing run without you. God's letting the church prosper while you sit on a pew. I tell you, you can't stop it. I could backslide tonight and this church is going to make it. Everybody in here could walk out. And God's going to have a church. He'll have a church. He'll have a church. Hey, sir, God don't need you. And I'm smart enough to know that God doesn't need me. I'm dispensable. There'll be another one come to this pulpit. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to tell you that He's going to be with you. He's a stalker in your darkness. Now some of you have taken your heart so far away from this preacher. I want to tell you what's happening. You've taken your heart away from this preacher. You've bad-mouthed me. Yeah, others have told me. See, be sure your sins will find you out. And listen, I know how to, I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. God's told me enough about some of you here today that some of you are on your way to a devil's hell. If you don't find an altar soon, you need to get on your knees and say, God, I'm with Him. He'll leave reminders of the church in every hour of your day. He'll be a stalker in your darkness. You think it's easy to backslide? You think it's easy to walk away from God? I'll just walk away and I'll leave God standing there. I'll walk away and God will never know the difference. I'll leave Him there. I want you to see something. I've got in my hand tonight a letter that was written to me here a short while back from a backslidden Pentecostal. Young lady that was backslidden, raised in a church, Paul Darks. Knows what you know, Paul Darks. Feels what you feel, Paul Darks. She wrote me a letter. She mailed it to me. She heard me preach a message. She wrote me a letter. And she was scared. She got up and ran out of the church the day that I preached to her. She ran away. She couldn't understand some things about God. You want to know what this backslider's heart was so upset about? You want me to tell you what it was that shook this backslider? Son? You want to know what it was? It wasn't the fact that sin could destroy her. She said, I knew sin would destroy me if I gave myself to sin. But you want to know what it was that shocked her? She told of a life of sin, doing things that she had been taught was wrong. I don't know the time that I've looked over the words in this letter already, but she wasn't amazed at how sin ruined her life. What caused her pain was that God stalked her in the darkness. She sitting on a bar stool, talking to me, and all of a sudden, feeling God's presence reach into her heart and touch her. Brother White, how could a righteous God touch me in a dirty bar like that? He's a stalker in your darkness. You want to know what it was that upset her? Laying in the arms of men that she hardly knew. She'd lay there and think about church. And God would quicken her mind and let her know, you'll never find peace until you get back to me. Brother White, why would a holy God look at me so filthy and shameful? Because he's a stalker in your darkness. Holding a razor to her wrist and wrestling demons of suicide, when she suddenly felt the Spirit of God flood the room. Why wouldn't God leave me alone? I was so far from being in the church. But let me tell you why. He's a stalker in the darkness. You'll never get away from him. You'll never outrun him. You may spit in his face. You may nail him to a cross. You may run from him, but he loves you. And the spurned love of God is going to chase you until the day you die. You can come from any hellhole in this world and walk into Pentecost. But friend, when you walk away from Pentecost, you'll never go without the stalker in your darkness. Don't walk out this door thinking you can walk away from God tonight. Oh, right. I'm this and I'm that, and that's why I can backslide and be justified. No, no, no. You can live for God if you want to. The problem is you don't want to, and you're looking for a reason. But when you go over your shoulder, you'll be there. When you walk into them places that's been preached against in this pulpit, don't forget, you'll be there. When you sin and you laugh and you say you left all this life behind, don't forget, he's there. He's watching what you're putting under the mattress. He's watching what you're hiding. He's watching what's in your heart. He's watching the spirit that's damning your soul to a devil's hell. He's watching you. He's the stalker in your darkness. Brought us out of darkness into this marvelous light. But Adam, when you walk out of the light, you stumble back in the shadow of the trees. You'll be assured of one thing. Love's going to walk your way. And love's going to speak to you. Amber, you'll never get away from this. Amber, you can't do it. You can't run from this. He's going to be there. You can run 1,000 miles, get Jesus. He's going to be there. He's the stalker looking over his shoulder. You say, but Brother White, God's not going to look. God's too holy to see. I'm going to tell you, he'll see it. Boaz, he's going to be there. He's going to be the one standing in the shadows when you think nobody knows and nobody cares. He's going to be Billy Poland. He's going to be there. Run. You can run, but you can't hide. How about it? I wonder who. Hey, Reggie. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. When you think you finally outran God, he's going to be looking over your shoulder. Every now and then, the hand of God's is going to reach down and touch you. And you're going to say, God, I'm so far away. But I want to know, and I want you to know, and he's always going to be there. I know what it's like in a backslid condition, 1,000 miles away from God. I'd known about God. I'd been around the church a little bit. I'd prayed through. to what I did have. I walked away from frankly to hell. I'll never forget. I walked into that place that night. Hey, see, preacher knows how to do it all. I took the lid, turned it upside down, put my pot in it, began to mix in the different drugs, crush up the different pills, made some hash with all my friends. I remember smoking that night, dope. Sister Hattie, I don't know what it was. I don't know what the mixture was. But we just began to mix stuff and crush up aspirin and prescription pills and mix it in just to smoke it. Hey, I don't talk a lot about them days, do I? But I want you to know I know where they are. I smoked it. And I got in my car and tried to drive home no farther than here to the church, to the parsonage. Around the corner from my buddy's house. And for 45 minutes, I drove off this side of the road. And I got in my bedroom. Laying there with Playboy pictures on the wall. You didn't know that, did you? Laying there that night trying to sleep. And my mind began to go wild. I began to get drugs. And my system had overdosed me. And laying there, I took my fingernails. And every time I'd close my eyes, Paul Dark, every time I'd close my eyes, I'd see myself laying in a casket with a beard and mustache looking like I was looking with my long hair. I'd sit there and I could see it every time I closed my eyes. You know what it was? It was my stalker in the darkness. He wasn't going to leave me alone. I remember saying, God, just leave me alone. Scratching my chest until even to this night my children can see patches of hair that are scratched away where there's nothing but scars on my chest. But you know what was there in the middle of it all when I couldn't move, when I couldn't raise my head off the pillow? The Spirit of God hovered and let me know, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. When I didn't want him, the moment he wanted me, when I said I didn't need him, he was saying, I won't give up. I won't let go of you.